7 out of 10 proctologists recommend listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day this week, and of course, every year we have a St. Patrick's Day special, even though it's not today. It's far away. It's Thursday.
Oh, our special's today.
Our special is today. Gail Scott, senior faculty member of the Enneagram Institute, is on the phone with us right now. Gail, hi, how are you?
Hi, Drew. I'm good.
Thank you for joining us, just in the nick of time. You know,
exactly.
For thousands of years, spiritual teachers from many different traditions have reminded us of the richness of the human spirit and its potentials. But without real self-knowledge, it is not possible to awaken to the deeper truths of the soul or sustain whatever degree of realization we have attained. One of the most powerful tools for understanding ourselves and others is the Enneagram, an ancient symbol of unity and diversity, change and transformation. And I want to start off today's show by clarifying something. If you think this is some predictive, star sign-y, you'll meet your lover in February kind of predictive nonsense, it's not. So how, again, do we concisely describe for new people tuning in what the Enneagram is, Gail?
Well, it's an ancient system, and what it speaks to are the 9 different temperaments or personality types or soul types that human beings are subject to. They have found through scientific research that babies come into the world with 1 of 9 temperaments, which means 1 of 9 different kinds of programming. It has to do with your, partly to do with the neurochemistry in your brain. So we have these 9 different paths, 9 different lessons to learn, 9 different ways of traveling toward our own divinity, toward our own realization. So the Enneagram shows you the particularities of the 9 different types. And when you know what your type is, then you have an incredibly powerful tool to discover really the blueprint of your ego, of your psychic structures, of what's running your show, of what your basic fear and desire of. And what, in the old sense of the word, that your basic sin is, or your primary sin. In the old sense, it was hamartia. It was about how we miss the mark, how, when we're trying to reach our divinity, when we're trying for unity with God, what trips us up? What makes us miss the mark?
Wow. You know what? I find that you're very easy to listen to. I should come to one of your courses.
You definitely should. You'd love it.
No.
No, you don't want me? You don't think I should go on a course?
No, you should do a course, but I would do a very one-on-one special course with you.
Really?
You have attention deficit disorder. You'll last 45 minutes.
Gail, I'd like to introduce you to John McCauley. John, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, John.
John, what involvement have you had with the Enneagram over the years?
Well, first of all, my spiritual director uses the Enneagram with me. And in fact, Gail, I gave your organization $12 this morning, and I redid it again because Drew actually said to me, you're not a 2. So I went back and I tested myself, and I came out a 2.
Again?
6, 9. So I'm a 2 again. So there you are.
I find that astounding, okay, that a leader of a big organization like you and Mr. Leadership Book and author of Leadership Things and Mr. Leader Guy is a 2.
He's helping people become leaders.
Well, wouldn't you want a leader who is caring and helping?
Who is what? Who is what?
Caring. It's Irish for care.
He's always curing people. Yeah. Curing.
Curing. I'm curing people.
Do you hear that accent, Gail? Isn't that ridiculous?
Like, Gail, wouldn't you agree a 2 is a great disposition to have as a leader?
Well, I would say that all 9 types bring different gifts to the leadership role. And as a 2, yes, you would bring the heart qualities, the caring about other people, the interpersonal connection with people, yes.
So 2s are empathetic, hold on. Yeah, 2s are empathetic, sincere, warm-hearted. They are friendly, generous.
Thoughtful.
Stop it. Self-sacrificing, but can also be sentimental, flattering, and people-pleasing.
Affectionate.
Don't stop touching me.
Affectionate.
They are well-meaning and driven to be close to others, but can slip into doing things for others in order to be needed.
Mm-hmm,
they typically have problems with possessiveness and with acknowledging their own needs. At their best, they are unselfish and altruistic. They have unconditional love for others.
Right. So it's important to remember with the 2, as with all 9 types, there's a spectrum of traits that goes from, you know, the healthiest, the most realized, down through the healthy to the average to the lower healthy to the neurotic to the psychotic. So just being one type doesn't guarantee you of being a particularly healthy example of that type. You could be, but you could be anywhere on the spectrum. And part of the beauty and the power of learning the Enneagram is that you learn what you can do to become a healthier 2 or 3 or 4, like what you can do to
right.
work on the the issues and challenges of your type.
You know, we just lost a famous number 2 in the world these days, and Nancy Reagan was a number 2. Mm.
That's correct. Yes, she was. We often find type 2s in positions of sort of the power behind the throne, because type 2s, like Nancy Reagan, really enjoy sort of being connected with powerful people, often more than being the power themselves, because they like to use their influence, they like to use their connections, their interpersonal skills. So Nancy was very, very devoted to Ronnie Reagan and helped him, you know, become the president and the leader that he did. But she was very much, you know, pulling strings behind the scenes, and she was very much the power behind the throne.
Well, when I the power behind the throne, that just gives a whole new image for me. The type 2, that means it's one of them strong flushing toilets there, John. Type 2 helper, when I think of helper, I think of somebody who's very kind, who's very behind the scenes, who just wants to do whatever they can for other people, and maybe even they slip into doormat syndrome and they lose a bit of their identity and who am I and that kind of stuff. Am I missing some of that, or am I getting that right?
Those are all things that we could say about twos who are at different levels of health and development. But you know what's most important to the type 2 personality, male and female, is to be able to feel that I have love, that I'm a source of love. I want to be the person who has the love, who gives the love. So I use my energy to go out, to put my attention on other people, and I believe that by supporting others, my significant others, nurturing people, taking care of your needs, I hope to win your love and approval, your attention and validation. So I'm giving my love and support, my honest care and nurturing, all of my all of the qualities that I can do that, and I'm doing that because I want to be seen as a good and loving person. So I'm looking for love through that interpersonal connection with other people. I would say that twos are the most interpersonal type in the Enneagram. It really. They have to have other people in their lives. They need to be close to others. They need to have close, intimate friendships. They need to be important in other people's lives.
Hmm. Gail, I'm living this right now. I'm on a mini study leave sabbatical, you know, present CEO of an organization, and all of a sudden I don't have anybody to help. And it is being excruciatingly painful to be in that world. Sometimes Our giftedness in this can also drive us to the place of exhaustion, but sometimes when we don't have people to help, then it can lead us into a whole other world of boredom, of frustration, or whatever. How do we find the right place to bring our very best self to the table?
Well, that's very true, because for twos, being around other people who need me, whom I can help, whom I can assist, whom I can nurture, whom I can coach, who I can mentor, that's very important to the two personalities. So when you're on sabbatical, when you're taking a vacation, chances are you'll still look for people that you can help. But if not, it can feel like I don't have a purpose of being. I don't know who I am anymore. Because twos are one of the types, the 2, 3, and 4 in the heart center, who really needs that energy coming back to them. They need the mirroring from other people. Twos particularly need mirroring of other people to know that I'm a good and loving and kind person. So for all twos, the challenge, the real journey, is about understanding that I deserve my own love, and I deserve to develop my own talents and do things in the world that make me happy, not just serving other people.
So what are the danger signs that a two is going too far?
What, you mean in turning into a doormat?
Yeah. In fact, when I'm teaching, I use the word, there's a period in my life and at times where I just become a doormat. So what are the clues that a two is just going too far?
Well, I would say the strongest clue would be that you lose your center. So a healthy, strong, centered two is is just as it sounds, like upright, centered, and you can reach out to help other people with your words, with your gestures, with your physicality, with things that you do for people, but you don't lose your center. When you lose your center, you start to lean forward, either actually, physically, or metaphorically, symbolically, lean forward into the other person, and it's more about that person and their life and their needs and their wants and their agenda. So you lose yourself, and you're actually losing your balance because you're leaning into the other person. And that can be a big wake-up call for type 2s, is that to reclaim myself, I need to get my balance, you know, be centered, be in my own energy, and do for myself and for other people from there.
Yeah.
I want to bring our intern over here just for a second. Meg's the intern. Meg's did the test. See, everybody's doing this thing now, man. I'm telling you. All the people in my life are doing the Enneagram test.
Great.
So Meg's did the test, and Meg's is a 20-something-year-old female here who's an intern on our show and came out with number 2 as well. But she said something to us just before we went to air. Do you want to just share that with Gail, please, Meg's?
Yeah, so I was reading about how to analyze your results that you got from the test, and I did the full 144-question one, and it said that if you are seen to be a type 2, but you're a woman, you know, you might want to look more closely at maybe your second or third, you know, result, because it's very typical for women to, you know, be taught in society to be helpers all the time.
Well, that's true, especially within particular spiritual and religious societies. So, for instance, within the Christian society, the loving, the giving, the helper is a very female role. It's what's expected of women. So if you were brought up in a very traditional or very religious setting, then a lot of type 2 sort of qualities and behaviors would have been instilled in you. So it just means to check, because it doesn't mean that you're necessarily two. So sometimes women, particularly females, who, as I said, are, you know, grow up in a strict Christian or spiritual or religious background, and are expected to be, you know, the caretakers, as women and girls often are, then they sort of take on that identity of two-ness. So there can be some confusion there. And type 2 is sort of the quintessential archetypal energy of the female, because historically women are supposed to be the nurturers, right? Because we nurture the babies, we nurture the children, we're the givers, we're the caretakers. So there's a sort of a female overlay. But it's also true that there are as many male as female twos in the world. Mm. And so for males, that caretaking, that nurturing, often takes the form of you know, coaching or mentoring or, you know, being a great friend, things like that.
All right. I don't want to talk about the twos anymore. They're just starting to irritate me now.
we're fist punching each other.
No, they're knuckle bumping and high fiving and they're chest bumping. There's three helpers in the room here. This
we're
is
doing it in a helpful,
we're
all supportive way
to help you.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on to type 3, which is, Gail, you're not going to like me the way I set this up, but type 3 is the achiever, and I know a couple of achievers, and they just, there's something wrong with this crowd, I'm telling you. 3s are self-assured, attractive and charming, ambitious, competent and energetic. They can also be status conscious and highly driven for advancement. They are diplomatic and poised, but they can also be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. At their best, self-accepting, authentic, everything they seem to be, role models who inspire others. So that's a type 3, that's an achiever.
And that's the achiever, yes. And we call the 3 the achiever, also the motivator or the status seeker or the role model. This is the success-oriented, efficient type. And they're highly motivated to achieve some kind of personal success in their life, and their sense of their own value comes from their achievement. So for two, the sense of the type two, the sense of their own value comes from how much other people respond to them and want to be around them and care about them and love them and appreciate what they do. For the three, it's more about my success, my achievement, my vocation, my career, what I do in the world. So threes exemplify our desire to be our best self, you know, to achieve our personal best, to work hard, to develop our potential, So they're generally very ambitious people, often from a very young age. They're competent, they're organized, they're really focused and goal-oriented.
But they're also neurotic and a little nuts, aren't they?
Everybody is neurotic and a little nuts
when they get down. This is what I love. Every time I have Gail on the show, I try to paint one of these categories in a negative light. And what she says, this is true. This is, and what I'm saying is, she says each category has a healthy side and an unhealthy side. So you just can't say one category is blah.
That's right. So now there might be certain types who went in their sort of average or lower average neurotic behavior particularly bug you, right?
Yep.
We all are bugged by particular types.
Yep.
So type 3s really bug people in those sort of average to unhealthy neurotic levels, particularly by being somewhat self-aggrandizing, perhaps deceitful, sort of bragging about themselves. They can also sort of take on kind of a plastic, impersonal quality. Sometimes it seems like things come too easy to them. There can be a lot of, you know, jealousy projected onto them. They can seem also sort of slick and insincere. And a lot of times, you know, that can bug people. But they are often very charming and diplomatic, but they can also seem sleazy down the level.
Okay, I was going to say, some people say that I'm a 3, but then you said sleazy, and I didn't want to go in after that.
right.
But I'm not a 3. I haven't scored a 3. A 3 isn't one of my higher scores at all.
Okay.
And I want to get some affirmation from the boys in the room. I'm not a 3, right?
No, you didn't answer it right.
What do you mean? Yeah, you think I should do the test again? Well, you think I'm a 3?
You're a 10, Drew.
You're a 10 to me, brother.
Stop it. Do you think I'm a 3, Johnny boy?
I mean, there's elements of it, but
I'm not an achiever.
Well, I don't know what you are. Are you a 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, an individualist, yeah. But what were your secondary?
But hold on. But even Gail wonders if I really am a 4.
Yes, I haven't quite seen that part, Gail, that side of you yet.
Gail, that's part of the problem. Like, when you take the questions, how do we answer the questions honestly and not try and even play a people-pleasing, I don't want to be that person when you're answering it. Help us with that.
Good question.
Yes, it's very difficult. And that's why I would say, you know, don't over-rely on any test results. They might be 80, 85% accurate. But the accuracy of the test depends very much on your own self-knowledge, your own ability to self-disclose, your ability to be sort of, you know, honest about yourself and not to project an ideal image of yourself, but to be, because what we're talking about here is we're talking about personality, we're talking about ego fixation, we're talking about how we sort of behave in our normal personality trance. So it's not necessarily flattering, right? So, but I would say about the 3s, so they are ambitious overachievers often. And often you see this at school, you know, they rise to the top, they become the class president or team captains or head cheerleader or, you know, they often get voted most likely to succeed because even at a young age, it matters to them.
See, that's where I got. I love that category right there.
Right there I went. Nice. You never get voted for anything.
Not you. Okay.
No.
So we do see an awful lot of 3s who do make something out of themselves. And a lot of times, they really have to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and work hard to achieve success. And one of the beauties of that is that other people are able to see their own hopes and dreams mirrored in them, especially people who come from less advantageous parts of society and don't have money or don't have standing or don't have family or connections. But there's something about becoming someone of value and developing themselves and being who they need to be valuable and worthwhile. So yes, they are, as you said earlier, they're really the quintessential image type in that they do have kind of an overriding concern with how they present themselves, how they look, how they're coming across to other people. And they want their value, their sense of personal worth, to be reflected in the eyes of other people.
You know, when you think about a 3, the achiever type, you don't think that that they actually care about how they come across. But they're the ones that really do care about how they come across. They portray that they don't.
Yes, they're able to kind of make it seem like they've got it all together and there's a sort of casual, easy elegance that they have. But behind the scenes, they're really working it. And they want the success. Sometimes it means having a lot of money, fame, notoriety, you know, the
Donald
big house.
I was just going to say that.
Is Donald Trump a 3?
So So here's the thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because most people in the Enneagram world think that he's an 8. I personally think that he is a 3.
I've read some other ones here that are in the 3 category. A famous Canadian, Justin Bieber.
That's right.
Bieber,
Justin,
I think.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Yep.
Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Elvis Presley, Paul McCartney, Madonna, Sting, Whitney Houston. A lot of singers there.
A lot of creators.
Bernie Madoff.
So Bernie Madoff shows the type 3 way down the levels, in the very unhealthy levels, where the 3 is particularly susceptible to having a lack of empathy and even being sociopathic, not being able to feel anything for other people. So combined with their ability to be great salespeople, they can be imposters, and they can be very successful, very good at convincing people of the truth of what they're saying.
Oprah Winfrey, Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, and ladies and gentlemen, live in studio with us, a number 3, Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sir, how are you today?
Very good. Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's an incredible thing to be involved in this Enneagram. And I just want to say I am an achiever. I used to be a scrawny little Austrian boy, but then I, worked really hard and became the governor of the great state of California.
All right, California. Go away, Arnold. You talk too much.
Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Vote for the Terminator.
That's exactly right. Arnold came from nothing, and he decided very early on in his life that he was going to be famous, that he decided he was going to marry a Kennedy.
Yeah.
He decided, all of these things, like, that's what he was going to be. He was going to reach that level of success, and he worked really hard, did all that bodybuilding. How many people want to work that hard on their body?
Yeah, so, well, not most of us. I want to say Megs, our intern, sent me, you're getting a lot of shout-outs today, eh, Megs, the intern? She sent me an interesting article. The title is, What Your Enneagram Type Is Not an Excuse For. Have you heard of this?
No, but that's good.
So being a type 3 does not give you the right to demand admiration and respect from those around you simply because you've achieved something impressive.
So I just want to say, we can feel into the dilemma of the type 3 because, for various reasons, because we're susceptible and vulnerable and sensitive to different things as a young child, the type 3 child interpreted the message that I'm not loved for who I am, but for what I do. And as parents and family members, we give little kids that message all the time. They do something, they feed themselves, they take that first step, and the crowd goes wild, and we scream and clap and yay, yay, yay. Well, the way it works for the type 3 is that they interpret that to mean, oh, I get it. It's not who I am, but it's what I do. That's when I get the applause. That's when I get the love.
Yeah.
So that sets a very deep central pattern for the type 3 where they think that I have to do things. So they become, usually very early, successful. They go out for things at school. They want to be seen as accomplishing and successful by their peers because they feel that's the only way that they can get validation for their own self-worth.
And jumping back to the type 2, being a type 2 does not give you the right to expect attention and devotion from the people you invest in if they did not actively agree to invest equally in you.
That's right. So a healthy 2 will give just because it feels good to give and because there's so much love in the world and there are no strings attached. It's kind of a clean-hearted helping and giving, and it's very bright and sort of free-spirited. Down the levels, it's more, I'm giving and doing all this for you, but I want you to be appreciative. I want you to I want you to see how much I'm doing for you, and I want you to love me and care about me back.
Does that work, John? Does that you?
I don't know. I'm getting worried if my wife's listening right now. I'm going to have to walk the dog a whole lot more because she's finding out I'm a helper.
Uh-huh. Oh, Gail. All right. Well, we have come to the end of yet another segment here on the Drew Marshall Show. The Enneagram is what we've been chatting about. Gail Scott, she's a senior faculty member of the Enneagram Institute. The website is enneagraminstitute.com. Go there, and if you don't have the cash, do the free little assessment thing. But if you do have the 12 American dollars, which is 45 Canadian dollars, then you can take the real test. It is quite worth it. You're going to go. It'll drive you a little batty because it forces you to choose, this way or that way. It's a two-part question.
It's a first choice test, right.
Yeah.
And don't be put off by the diagram because anybody that looks at it looks like it's witchcraft.
You see? I told Gail, didn't I tell you that?
Yes, you did. But what can I say? It's an ancient symbol. We can't change it now.
Oh, that just makes people even more worried from our tradition.
From the Jesus tree, the tribe, they're all, they think, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I said that to Gil. I said, you know, as soon as you go to the, you see the symbol, and you know, that some people are going to think this side or the other. But then she pointed out exactly what this symbol means, and it's got the 9 points. And, I mean, look, symbols have been around a lot longer than we have.
And there's a lot of important Christian history embedded in that symbol, which when we have some more time, I can tell you about that.
Excellent. Gail, I always love having you on the show. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Enneagraminstitute.com. Go check them out. Don't be freaked out by the symbol. Okay? Okay, John?
Yes?
Short break on our show.
I loved it. It's great. You know, don't worry about it.
Arnold's still here. Stay with us.
Of your heartstrings, they play soft and low. You know the night.